We move now to item 9.5, which is the reconstruction of Drung Jung Road, Longannong, contract 2002. And the purpose of this report is to award the contract 2002 for reconstruction of Drung Jung Road from change 970 to 2,945 metres. The recommendation here, councillors.
Mr. Mayor, before you take a motion from the floor, I do have a question which is relevant to this particular item. If I can ask that question before we do it for Mr. Martin, you'll know the answer very quickly to that.
Sure.
Fixing Roads, Country Roads program, does it fund 100% of this construction work? So what's the percentage of the the state that was provided?
Mr. Mayor, the Councillor was optimistic in his my assessment, but I'll be able to provide an immediate answer. There's quite a complex mix of funding sources that we've got for some of our road program this year. I think there were some six projects that we got fixing country road funds for, and I just can't answer that off the top of my head, because there are potentially a combination of council rates in here, as well as federal government roads recovery funding, as well as this fixing country road program. I'll have to look it up, Mr. Mayor. I can't do that in just a moment.
Right,
I can do it in the background.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the motion with pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Moved by Councillor Grimble. Thank you. Second by Councillor Goldman. Thank you. Councillor Grimble.
Just very briefly, just an earlier, this is a local road that we all know about, and certainly it does create quite a bit of traffic when you go to Grosser Bridge. The road's quite narrow, it winds its way around a couple of old structures, and the reason why I asked the question around the grant funding was that most of our road projects like this, whether it be roads to recovery or indeed the Fixing Country Roads, which is a state government program, it's actually critical to maintaining and doing our renewal type work. So I just want to acknowledge that. It wasn't critical for me to know that to support the recommendation, but I think that this has local contractors involved again, and it's an important connecting road, particularly to the intermodal too. I'm sure that this work will be well received by those that use the Drung Jung Road.
Thank you. Councillor Goldman.
I'm happy to support the recommendation as it is. I just liked reading that most of the roads in that area got 6.2 metres wide, but the current one with bends is 3.7, so we're going to make an alteration to support that. So I think it's just interesting to see.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Power.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just like to say, well, congratulations again for this part, because being a bike rider myself, and that's part one of the bike riding roads actually around there, over the bridge, and you ride on this very narrow sort of piece of road. Well, it says 3.7 metres there. If there's one or two or three of you, it's pretty dangerous when a car comes in the opposite direction, because there's only gravel on the off the bitumen side. So for us to go ahead and do this, not only for cyclists that cycle out there, for the welfare, the health and welfare themselves, but also for cars that travel on that road too. When they come down off the road from the toll over there, instead of going in through Longannong, they get the back road past the Drung Golf Club there and into Horsham and Williams Road. So this will be a great safety net for not only vehicles, small vehicles, cars, four-wheel drives, trucks that use that on a regular basis, but also our cyclists. So I say congratulations, let's go ahead and do it. It's got to be done. And the fact that we're actually using local contractors speaks very highly of the recommendation. Thank you.
Power. Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Item 9.6, Communications Policy and Communications Plan. The purpose of this report is to adopt a revised communications policy and receive and note the annual communications plan from the Horsham Royal City Council. And there's two parts of the recommendation. Which has been moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Councillor Koenig. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This lays out how we effectively communicate with our community, with everyone around us, so that we're consistent, we're clear, we get the same message out so that everyone knows exactly what council is doing and thinking. So I think this just makes it very, very clear and very obvious about the way we should be behaving with communication.
Councillor Clark, Councillor Koenig. Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'm concerned with this policy, also in conjunction with the media policy, is essentially potentially able to be seen as a gag tool, and that's, I've got to say, the way I'm actually interpreting it. I've tried at times to get points across in this chamber, and on points of order have been unable to do so. Mr. Mayor, that puts me in the difficult position of where I have to look at other means of communicating with the community, which may take me outside of what's proposed here. So whilst the plan might seem okay, it means nothing if we don't stick to it and if we don't apply the same processes equally across the board. So my reservation is we will introduce something and just fail to comply with it. And an example of some of our difficulties with communication, Mr. Mayor, relates to the parking discussion, let's say, that's happening in the community at the moment. On one hand, we've got councillors, senior councillors, including yourself, saying that we have not said we will get into into parallel parking. We've said that, you've made that statement very clear. But the material that we've put out and put before the community, effort and gusto some of our staff have gone to explain a different scenario to what you're putting out has created a lot of confusion. And ultimately, Mr. Mayor, the fact that we do it this way actually, I'm sure, has an adverse impact on our staff who enthusiastically work down a path they think that we want them to, and then we cut them off at the knees by saying, well, no, we didn't say we would do that. So, Mr. Mayor, unless we change the way we do business, this policy, in effect, becomes irrelevant. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Gould.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure I can support the policy without some clarification. To me, there is something which is in contradiction to our communications policy and communication plans. And Mr. Harrison or Mr. Martin might be able to clarify for me, but under the Horsham Regional Livestock Terms of Reference, and I'll quote, this Terms of Reference actually been adopted by Council, and it states very clearly the chairperson, which is myself, is empowered to be the spokesperson for the activities of the board. And it goes on to talk about any media release coming out of the board has to be authorised by the director. So my role as the chair under those terms of reference don't appear to be picked up in the communication policy. Whether it's an anomaly or not, I'd like to comment. But if it's been an oversight, can it be included? It should be. As we know, the Livestock Exchange is a standalone identity, and I feel like the terms of reference and the scope and responsibility of the board allows me as the most appropriate person, along with the mayor or the director or the CEO, to make comments in relation to the activities of the board. This policy precludes me from doing that. So on that basis, unless there's some clarification, I won't support the leader.
I'll take that as a question.
I'll go in saying that it does actually put in complete contradiction to another policy of council. So if it hasn't been proofread, it probably needs to be.
I'll take that as a question. Mr. Harrison.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Principle 4.1 actually states in the last part of that sentence, it says other people may be delegated responsibility from time to time, and certainly that terms of reference of the committee is clearly delegating that responsibility to yourself in that respect. So I think it does cover off on those aspects.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the response, but at the date we're actually endorsing this policy, very clearly we have a terms of reference which has been endorsed by Council, so it should actually go a little bit more prescriptive than that. I don't know that there are too many other advisory groups, or whatever you'd like to call them, the council that actually is like the livestock exchange that actually falls into, as Mr. Harrison picks up, other people which may be delegated responsibility from time to time. I was trying to think whether the aerodrome has actually... Sorry?
The library.
The library's another one. So if there's an anomaly there, I think this needs to be workshopped and pick up some of those anomalies. And if we've got the library and the livestock exchange, we can actually spell them out in our policy, and it entrenches the opportunity for councillors to become more than just sitting under a communications policy. It gives them the authorisation appropriately to make comments. So my mind is, I'm in principle support it, but until it's actually workshopped and picks up those couple of anomalies, I'd sooner it be addressed and corrected before we endorse it.
There is an opportunity to defer dealing with this tonight, which might be a good case for doing that. Someone might remove that.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that.
So, Councillor Donovan, just moving that we defer this item. Is that what you want to get the language correct?
Sorry, I'm happy to defer the item. I actually feel like the Code of Conduct covers it, so I would vote against it. However, if we can defer it and have a further discussion about what Councillor Grimble said, that I'm more than happy to do that.
Councillor Goldman's moved to defer this item. Thank you. Someone want to second that? Councillor Robinson. Councillor Goldman. Do you want to speak? Councillor Robinson, do you want to say anything?
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, because Councillor Goldman's correctly identified that it's covered in the Code of Conduct, then why have two documents? It just creates opportunity for misinterpretation.
Happy to support the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any speakers against deferring it? Any other speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Yes, that's carried. Thank you. 9.7, Council Media Policy. I actually suggest that we do defer this one. If we get that far to move in second, I'll explain why. Councillor Grimble's just getting out of the room for a minute.
I'm happy to move that we defer this one also.
Okay. Councillor Clark, someone second that. Councillor Koenig. Councillor Clark.
I think there needs to be a bit more discussion on some of this, especially the media, social media side of things, so I'm happy to defer it and have some more in-depth discussion about that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Koenig, what do you say?
For me, it goes hand in hand with the previous report, so happy to defer it to workshop this as well.
Okay, thank you. Any speakers against? Are there any other speakers? Yeah, I just wanted to say that the night that we did talk about this, there were three councillors not part of the conversation. And being a council and media policy, which is really being set up to guide the new council next year, I think it needs to be right. And for me, it's a little bit over prescriptive in some areas. And we do have a council code of conduct, so I think it would be good to have another chat about this. So maybe you support the motion to defer it, which I'll now put. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Councillor Grimble, councillors have voted to defer that item for further work. We move now to 9.8, which is the community grants policy. The purpose of this report is to adopt the amended community grants policy, which is Appendix 9.8A. This has been moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Second by Councillor Koenig. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is singly probably the best thing we do as councillors and as council. and that is providing small grants, small bits of funding for our community groups, some of them very small, some of them a bit larger, but it gives them the opportunity to just buy things or get things that their club needs that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford. So it can come right down to a kettle, right through to a $10,000 grant. So it's just a great way of supporting our community and the wonderful volunteers that make our community tick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to adopt the amended policy. I think coming on council, this was something that largely went unnoticed about what council actually does for me anyway. I wasn't fully aware of the extent, I guess, of the community grants and how far they reach. So I endorse what Councillor Clark said and happy to support the amended policy.
Thank you, Councillor Keeney. Any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any sub speakers? Councillor Goldman.
Mr. Mayor, one of the meetings that I attend regularly was discussing the benefits of what we actually offer in our municipality in regards to the amount that we can provide for community grants, and they're comparing us with other shires around us, and they just spoke out and said it's incredible how much Horsham does offer. So we should be really proud of what the council does to provide for the community.
Any other speakers? Put the motion, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.9, which is the Audit and Risk Committee meeting held last month. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the minutes of the Audit and Risk Committee meeting held on the 21st of November and to endorse the annual appointment of the Chair and the new independent member.
Mr. Mayor, with pleasure to move the recommendations presented.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Been seconded by Councillor Koenig. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's three things I'd like to say. Two of those are the last dot points, which approve the appointment of Mr. Richard Trigg as a chair for one term. Mr. Trigg has been an active member more recently of the Audit Committee, and with pleasure, happy to support appointing him as a chair. Also approve the appointment of new independent chair, Mr. Mark Knight, for a three-year term. He's well known to us through his work at the Women Healthcare Group, and comes on that committee with a significant level of experience. So I acknowledge his appointment and approve the appointment of the new independent chair. Mr. Mayor, I was absent for the last meeting, but I also want to acknowledge the long service of our retiring chair, Mr. Jeff Price. He's been involved in the Audit Committee for quite some time. Indeed, going back to 2012, as listed in his annual report which he presented to Council, but he's certainly been an active and very vital member of the Audit Committee. He's also had, coming into that role, had a significant amount of local government experience, so he certainly was well heeled to take on that role. Mr. Mayor, I was looking at the annual report provided to him, and on page one, it has the summary of works performed by the Audit and Risk Committee members. I did want to highlight to you that indeed it's got myself listed from March 2015 to current. My time on the Audit Committee actually goes back to Michael Ryan when he was mayor, so it goes back, it actually predates any of the current Audit Committee members, and it goes back in the order of something like 2010 or 11. It doesn't mean a lot to me, but someone might review that. And I've certainly spent, as the Mayor of the day or a councillor, on the Audit Committee for a long period of time. That's just a slight typo or correction that might need some change, but again, I'm happy to support the recommendation and acknowledge those three members appropriately.
Thank you, Councillor
Lindley.
Councillor Koenig.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Clark.
Thank you. I too have served on the Audit and Risk Committee quite a few years, and which predates Councillor Grimble. And Jeff was there then too. I remember Jeff being a very important part of the committee right back then. So this is a really important part of the work that Council do, is to make sure that everything we do has a clear process, a clear auditable process right through, every single thing. It's not just about the dollars and how we manage the money, it's also about how we do every process that this council manages and how we do it well to eliminate risk. So it's a really important committee, and I also commend Jeff and his work over many, many years.
Councillor Clark, are there any other speakers? I'd like to echo the words that have been said tonight, particularly thanking Mr Price for his work as he enjoys his retirement. Certainly the Audit Committee is responsible for those checks and balances, those external eyes looking at the interrogation of Council's business operations, risk assurance and the reporting requirements have been met. So happy to support what's been said tonight and the recommendation, which I'll now put. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.10, which is the Know Your Council website, 2018-19 data. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the details surrounding the publication of the 2018-19 local government performance reporting framework indicators on the local government Know Your Council website. Recommendation there, councillors. Which has been moved by Councillor Robertson. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Goldham. Thank you. Councillor Robertson.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Know your council websites. It's important that the community access this and understand how we're going and how we're benchmarking against other municipalities. I think we have to, where we're not doing so well, we have to be big enough to pop it on the chin, and our community satisfaction with our decision making is still sitting on the current edition of this at 49 out of 100, which is unacceptable. Similar councils are at 52, all councils at 55. We should be striving to be a leader, and clearly we have some barriers to achieving that. From memory, Mr Mayor, if I go back about 6 or 7 years, we were quite high in these stakes, so we've dropped significantly. I think at the moment the plans, we've got a council officer prepared plans with what they think should be happening, but I think it's really up to us as councillors to pick this up and formulate the plans and maybe set the scene for the next council, because I think with what's happened in recent weeks, we're probably not going to improve on the 49 for a while. Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Goldman.
No, thanks, Mr Mayor.
Any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I think it's important that we actually compare apples with apples, and often we're in this group of regional cities, and as you can see by the figures, we are definitely the smallest. The next one above us is half again as big, just about. So really, we should be comparing ourselves with like-sized cities around Victoria. So I think sometimes we've got to be very careful how our comparisons are with things like Geelong and Ballarat and Latrobe and places like that. And I think the dispatch satisfaction with decision-making goes back to our communication policy, councillor. It goes back to how we communicate what we do and who communicates what we do. And that makes a big part of our satisfaction of our community.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Yes, that's okay. Thank you. Okay. 9.11, proposed property sale at 2 Elm Street in Nanima. The purpose of this report is to seek council endorsement to sell the land known as CA-A2, BB5578, in the township of Nanimuck, parish of Nanimuck, to Elm Street.
Just a question, if I may, Mr.
Certainly.
Mayor. Mr. Mayor, the rectangle that's shown on there is my recollection. We were talking about initially the greater portion of the land, which extends to the northeast. Of that, is something changed, or are we looking at two lots now?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, the particular resident actually was only interested in acquiring that portion of it. The whole land is surplus to council's requirements and has been identified. The initial conversation we had with the community around whether it would be suitable to sell off just a portion of that or the whole lot was to get some feedback from the community, and the initial feedback was that there weren't objections to selling that portion, which was all that the resident was really after. So we engaged on the whole part just to get a general feel for it. And obviously people will now have an opportunity to submit as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a recommendation there, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move dot point one, dot point two in the recommendation.
Okay, so we'll have a second that. Councillor Robinson. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I note that in the report it actually has three dot points, and I have purposely not moved the third dot point because I believe, again, this should be multi-stage in how we deal with the proposed sale of 2 Elm Street anyway. We should give public notice of our intent. We're actually obligated by statute to do that, and we should write to the property owners adjoining the land advising them of our proposal to sell. And I think once our submissions come back, the third dot point will become clearer and subsequently we can then approve the sale subject. Then we can approve the sale and have those further discussions. But to me, Mr. Mayor, I think that fundamentally what we're doing is we're giving public notice and we're advising the property owners of our intent. So I'm happy to support the first and two dot points, but I think the third one can come at a slightly later date.
Thank you, Councillor Robinson.
Nothing further to add.
Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers?
Can I ask a question?
Question.
Okay. Have the surrounding landowners been contacted and discussed this with them?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, well, informally there's been discussion through the local Natty Muck community and with the adjoining landholders. This will formalise that now that we've honed it down to just the one title there that is of interest.
Any speakers? I put the motion. All those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. 9.12. Chief Executive Officer's Operational Report. The purpose of the report is to receive and note the Chief Executive Officer's Operational Report for December 2019. Councillor Clark, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Coney, thank you. Councillor Clark.
Just one comment to the outdoor pool. I've gotten so many comments about how great it is now. It's just so more usable and there's a lot more people there. It's fantastic to see.
Thank you. Councillor Coney.
Kelly Cooper.
Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers?
Mr. Mayor, I echo the comments of Councillor Clark, particularly in relation to the pool. It's good to see that open and operational, and also in the report it highlights the sod turn of the Horsham River Wildlife Group as well, which is an important milestone in that project, but again, was acknowledged was business as usual out there. The question I have is in relation to the part of the report which highlights the Victoria Grants Commission, and was there any more detail around what we can expect out of the Victoria Grants Commission allocation? That's just a question.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. And so we had the we just sort of the Grants Commission does it on a sort of a cyclical basis, you know, this sort of tour of the various councils. So it was our turn last Friday, and I guess the key for us to understand is that they, you know, because of the size of the pie, the grant pie is fixed, you know, there's not a lot, you know, the Grants Commission can do with the formula, so other than doing some tinkering. But what's actually been happening, you know, over the years is actually the shifting of that sort of the making it a bigger slice of the pie, you know, for the smaller rural councils, which are really having issues with the sustainability. So that's been happening. I think where we sit, you know, we're sort of actually sitting right in the middle. So we're not actually too small, neither we are too big. So, but I guess some councils in, say, metro area in Melbourne, you know, they're really, their grant income is coming down, whereas some of our neighbours, even in this region, you know, their grant income is going up. So I don't think there's any sort of magic sort of change happening in that space. You know, so I think they, in the foreseeable future, we'll see our grant income, you know, which is both the roads grant and the general purpose grants, continue at the same level, unless, of course, you know, there is some change at the federal level in terms of how much money they actually allocate to the sector as a whole across the country. So I don't think we will see much change there.
Mr. Mayor, another question, if I may, which is relevant to the Victorian Grants Commission. Did they make any reference to the rates review, which is currently before state government?
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the Commission is independent of the rating system, again, as I said. So they haven't, we actually asked them the question. They effectively have sort of stayed at arm's length from that process because they don't believe that's Commission's role. It's, you know, its role is effectively to get the money from the federal government and then distribute it in a as equitable and fair manner to the local council. So.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Two comments I'd like to make. One of them does relate to the Aquatic Centre. We were there on Saturday for the opening of the outdoor pool. It's well attended, and some of the young families there. And it was pointed out to me one of the advantages of the new pool is from a supervision point of view, you can now see the kids, whereas before there used to be a wall around the outside. And so, particularly the comment was made by some of the parents. The pool looks terrific, particularly with the new ramp going in. The surface is different, you're not walking on concrete anymore. It's all good. So I encourage our community to make the most of it. And as the warmer weather now, take the opportunity to go and test out the War Memorial Pool. Another thing I wanted to just quickly mention out of Mr. Buller's report, we've received a very generous grant of another $173,000 to improve the lighting on the river. And the Wimmera River Improvement Committee, as you can imagine, has a list of requests and improvements, priorities, and improving the lighting along the riverbanks is one of those. And so we just keep on nibbling away at it, and so we really graciously appreciate that grant, and that'll be a good thing for the residents down that way and also our visitors. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 10, which is council reports and acknowledgements. Can I have someone move that we suspend standing orders, please? Which is by Councillor Colvin. Second by Councillor Power. Thank you. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. So there's an opportunity, councillors, I'll just trickle around the table if anybody has anything they'd leave those reports. Right, which has been also moved by Councillor Power and Councillor Goldman. Those in favour? Thank you. Okay, we move now to item number 11, which is urgent business. There is an item of urgent business for councillors to consider tonight. And the recommendation there that councillors consider a petition submitted by the Horsham and Rural Ratepayers Association titled Unacceptable Community Engagement, Inclusion and Transparency by Horsham Rural City Council.
Happy to move that.
Moved by Councillor Clark, thank you. Second by Councillor Koenig, thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't think I've ever witnessed anything like this before. It's been very interesting to listen to business owners and community members who thought they were signing one thing and didn't realise that it was actually something else that they were signing. I will say, again, the plan that was put out was conceptual. It was a visionary plan. We've done exactly the same thing with the Aquatic Centre, with the Town Hall, with the Children's Hub, in that you put out a concept, people have a look at it, give ideas. Each of those concepts has been completely different to what it's ended up like. So I was supposed to be speaking to this, aren't I?
Yes.
So
much more,
Councillor
Clark,
So to see that this being distorted by people thinking that this is exactly what we're going to do, this is exactly what's going to happen, and then people getting very, very upset about what council are going to do to them, it's just absolutely contrary to the way this council operates.
Sorry, Councillor Clark.
So I think Councillor needs to actually accept it as urgent item
first.
Of urgent business first,
okay.
And then of course once that's resolved, then we can actually debate the item.
Okay, all right. So you can confine your debate, Councillor
yes,
Clark.
Yes, happy. Me. I just think that this needs to be dealt with now, Mr. Mayor, instead of leaving
thank
it.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've read the report. The response is appropriate. I too have a story that I won't delve into today, but I had quite an upset family member. Apologise to me. No apologise necessary, I told her when she was said that the petition will fix all the parallel parking in town, but nothing else. So, listen, I love passion and I love it, but passion needs to be put in the right direction, and for me, Mr. Mark, so this response is appropriate.
Okay. So, just want to clarify that the motion before us is to consider a petition to be dealt with under urgent business. Are there any speakers against the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I just need some clarification. Yeah. I think as I understand it, the motion moved by Councillor Clark was not to deal with urgent business, it was about the resolution.
It's actually to accept it as a
So I'm going to object to that because, first and foremost, you need to take a motion to accept urgent business and you haven't actually done that. So this again is a procedural issue. I understand that to deal with urgent business, you actually need to accept urgent business before you can deal with it. Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure how you get around that little complication. But you've now opened the debate up before you've actually decided to do a firm's business.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess the recommendation before you, Councillor, is exactly that, to actually accept the petition as an item of urgent business. So this is actually listed under number 11, which is urgent business. So that's why I was suggesting earlier, so the debate would happen once we get to the item. For now, Councillors, they just need to accept it as urgent business, and that's the recommendation.
Mr. Mayor, I do need clarification because urgent business can't be dealt with unless council actually resolve to deal with urgent business. This debate has gone into debating 11.1, which is response to petition provided by the officers. Again, it's a procedural issue, but I believe that fundamentally there was no motion to accept urgent business on the table. We've actually gone into debate, and I'm not sure how procedurally you get around that, but again, I can't support things that sit outside our local law.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor. So I invite a motion that we deal with urgent business.
Mr. Mayor, clarification, you actually have a mover and seconder to the fact to debate urgent business. That is a live motion, so I'm not sure that you can completely ignore that and go through some sort of supplementary process as you see fit.
Okay. All right. So what we'll do is we'll move to suspend standing orders, please. Someone like to do that? And we'll sort this out. Moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Someone like to second that? Councillor Power. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. So we'll just pause the meeting, ladies and gentlemen. That's carried. Councillor Clark.
Mr. Mayor, it might be appropriate if I foreshadow a motion, but I'm happy to move a motion that we invite Councillor Clark to retract her motion.
Okay. Should we just record that? Hang on a second. Would someone like to second that? That's the goal of the second one. Can you put that up there?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, our local laws are very important to get right, and this is a procedural issue which protects the right and the integrity of the decision making of council. If we have urgent business listed on the agenda, we must first resolve to accept that urgent business. What I see here procedurally is not correct, and we've actually gone into dealing with the officer recommendation as presented and both seconded. So we've gone through partially the debate, so we've gone through a point of no return. Appreciate the comments from the officers how we might address this, but for me, the cleaner way of dealing with is if we retract the motion and that's supported, then you can again deal with urgent business as we would according to our local law.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Donald?
No, thank you.
Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Put the motion. Was in favour? Yes, that's carried. Thank you. Councillor Clark?
I need to move that I retract the motion, is that right? It's just retracted now.
It's already done that.
Okay. So I'm happy to move this recommendation again.
No, we're going to have to go back a step and
yes.
move that we agreed to deal with urgent business.
Okay. I move that we hear this in, that we deal with this in urgent business, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Park still needs to retract her motion.
Yes, she did that. Could you say it louder, please, Councillor Park?
I retract my motion.
Right. And then
Mr.
you.
Mayor. Yes, and then I'm happy to move that we deal with this emergency.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that she can retract her motion without the support of a second or a vote.
Okay.
In all fairness, you need to do that.
Okay. Happy to do it in stages. So.
Okay, that's fine.
So you're moving to
but
retract your motion?
But I retract my motion.
Okay, would someone like to second that? Okay. Do you want to say anything?
No.
Councillor Power, do you want to say anything?
No, thank you.
Okay, are any speakers against? Any other comments? Put the motion. All those in favour? Okay, thank you. Councillor Clark?
Now I move that we hear this item in urgent business, Mr. Mayor.
Right, thank you. Someone like to second that? Councillor Koenig? Councillor Clark, do you want to speak?
Just that I think it's a big enough issue, it needs to be dealt with now.
All right, good. Okay, any speakers against? Any other speakers? You want to speak against?
Yes, I do, Mr. Mayor. I do want to speak against this motion. I don't support indeed dealing with a petition in this manner. We can't ignore the fact that we do have 2,000 signatures on a petition. That's quite significant. Regardless how they've come or whether they've come to the council, we do have, according to our local laws, a very clear set outline procedure how we deal with petitions, and they are normally presented to council. They lay on the table and then an officer's report is presented at a subsequent meeting. I think this is circumnavigating or shortchanging what has been a process that has stood this council for a reasonable period of time, and the only way to deal with a petition under urgent business is a unanimous vote from the council to actually support to deal with the petition on the night, and I don't support that. I think that we should receive a report at a later meeting in line with our local laws, Mr. Mayor. We've done that in the past with every petition we've dealt with, as I'm aware of, and this again is changing our process.
Thank you. Any other speakers for? Any other speakers?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we've, with the city to river stuff, we've started off a little bit rocky with a. Tried to put the brakes on things about 3 months ago and. That didn't really work. We had the situation where we had more than 2,000 signatures now standing up saying we haven't done it right. I think we can show examples where we haven't done it right. If we don't get ourselves back on track, I think what we're basically going to do here, if we're not careful, is end up declaring war on our own community. We don't need that. We all need to be working together. So to rush this, when in reality we actually need to slow down. There are quite a number of issues within the city to river that were bundled into one motion that gave nobody any opportunity to have any real say, one way or the other, to have genuine debate. So we've gone past all of that and, you know, Mr. Mayor, I don't know why, because it's just doomed to fail if we keep doing that. And there are some positive aspects of City to River that I'm sure we would all like to succeed. So I certainly don't support this position.
Okay, any other speakers? So I'm happy to support that we deal with the petition tonight, as we agreed to deal with the petition last week. At the moment, we're just focusing on the fact that dealing with this as urgent business, which I'm happy to support tonight. Councillor Clark, you have an opportunity to reply to that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have Mrs. Bell here, who actually put an article in the paper about this petition and is here to hear it tonight. I think this is such an important issue for our community. 2,000 signatures is a lot of people. I would hate to see this have to go over another couple of months before it's dealt with. It needs to be dealt with tonight so people have surety and comfort that what council are doing is correct. And so I think it needs to be dealt with now.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question, if I may.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, the rationale provided by Councillor Clark was that Councillor business shouldn't be held up for such a long time, and I understand where she's coming from there. But she also says, and it also puts in jeopardy, the $500,000 state fund.
Yeah,
we're
not debating that, Councillor.
Not debating that.
So, my apologies.
That's okay. Okay, so the motion is that the urgent business be dealt with tonight. I put that motion. All those in favour? Against? That's okay. Thank you.
The call for a revision, please, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly. All those in favour? Power? Councillors Power, Clark, Golden, Tony and Bradford? Against? Councillor Robertson and Councillor Liberal? Having agreed to deal with this business, we go back to the recommendation which says the councillors consider a petition. Okay. Councillor Clark, can you move the suspense standing order again? Councillor Clark, Goldberg, all those in favour? Hence that's carried. The suspense standing orders while we hand out this report. Now we move back into open council. Councillor Power, Councillor Clark. All those in favour? Yes, okay. Thank you. Okay. The purpose of this report is to receive and consider the petition submitted by the Horsham and Rural Ratepayers Association. There's five dot points there, councillors. Receive and note the petition titled Unacceptable Community Engagement, Inclusion and Transparency by Horsham Rural City Council, as submitted by the Horsham and Rural Ratepayers Association. Number two is to note that the community engagement process for the City to Rural Master Plan, Open Space Strategy and Horsham Urban Transport Plan were undertaken as per Council's communication policy. Number three, note that the community engagement process for Horsham South Structure Plan is in the early stages and will be in accordance with Council's community engagement policy. Number four, the Council confirm its commitment to further engage with all relevant stakeholders, including Business Horsham, individual businesses, sporting clubs, Horsham and Rural Ratepayers Association, and broader community through reference groups as part of the concept and schematic design plans for each sub-precinct in the City to River Master Plan, and before the draft plans are considered by Council. And finally, number five, note that the specific points raised in the petition, i.e. changes to parking in the CBD, closure of McBride Street, impact on croquet, lawn tennis, miniature railway and others, and cost implications were considered by Council at its ordinary Council meeting on the 25th of November 2019. That's the recommendation, councillors.
Mr. Mayor, I've got some questions I'd like to ask.
Thank
you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, these come from concerns.
Before you go, who are your questions? Who are we asking your questions?
Well, I'll start with you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Okay, so in relation to the 9.1, the Botanic Garden sub precinct, the amendment sought to be addressed there is that the Horsham Croquet Club will remain in the Botanical Gardens with enhanced integration and connectivity, including the removal of permanent fencing. The issue that's arisen there, Mr. Mayor, is how is it proposed that the Croquet Club can be managed without fences, and the perspective is public liability, safety and protection of the horse. So that's the first point.
That's the resolution from the previous council. So that's in relation to the city. So that's not part of this.
Well, it mentions it here.
Yeah, but not do a sort of resolution, necessarily.
Why don't I answer the question?
Sure.
Okay, so as regards to moving fencing in the precinct, and we were down there last week, and certainly you can't remove fencing which attributes to the success of either croquet or tennis, but you can move some of the fencing to open up a whole precinct. And one of the classic examples of that, and talking to one of the croquet ladies last week, but the hedge which runs between the croquet club and the botanic gardens is a classic example. That if that were the same sort of fencing as the other fencing which operates around the croquet club, it would achieve both enclosing the croquet courts but opening up that visual aspect. And the same would apply to the fencing which is around the tennis courts, particularly the fencing which has the barbed wire on it currently, which stops people walking past the courts through the caravan park. So that area is landlocked in little segments with all sorts of fencing. There's no proposal to remove all the fencing. You couldn't have tennis courts without fences or croquet courts.
Well, that's
But the idea is to remove some of the permanent fencing to open up the whole precinct.
Well, that's the clarity sought, Mr. Mayor, because that's what's in the mind of the community, that the fences... How many ball boys, was the question, are we going to have to play tennis on 24 courts with no fences?
We're debating, Mr. Mayor, we're not asking...
Anyway, I'm trying to answer the question, so do you have another question?
Yes, certainly. In relation to 9.4, the Riverfront Sub-Precinct, amend the draft master plan to acknowledge the role of the miniature railway, etc. The comment here is to explore design options and a viable operating model as part of the design process. And the question, Mr. Mayor, or the comment from the model railway people is they can't quite understand what we're talking about, so lack of clarity, perhaps. They're quite happy with the current model. They don't see that they have an operation that's not viable, and they don't see that they require any design changes. So, Mr. Mayor, is there some assurance we can give them?
Okay, so my answer to that would be the next phase of the project is to move into what's called schematic design, and that's asking those questions of all the users and the community of what things should go where and how they can harmonise together. And certainly there's a proposal in the draft concept master plan for a splash park in that region. So the idea would be if we can get the miniature railway people working with the other potential users down there, that would come up with something which will only increase the amount of people visiting the railway. The railway was never mentioned in the report to be got rid of, if you like. It was obviously wasn't shown on the drawings, but the potential for the miniature railway people is quite enormous with the improvements down there. So. I mean, I grew up in Eltham, Councillor Robinson, and I'm a great fan of miniature railways down there, one of the state's best. And I admire the group of what we've got here in Horsham. It's a great little track. And I'm hoping that in the next stage, which will be the concept, moving from the concept to a schematic design, that they will be part of that, and that we can only envisage having a bigger and better miniature railway, which is utilised more often.
Okay, well, thank you for that, but we obviously haven't communicated this well to them because they understand their position is under threat.
Yes, Murphy, did you want
to... Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Myself and our Manager of Economic Development had a formal meeting with the group, and I think we had five or six members here, and I think they've got 9 or 10 members in their total group, and we've talked through a lot of things in terms of what's happening in other communities. And the way we left that meeting is that we would be having some further discussions with them after council considered the report. So it is certainly an open book in terms of developing this further. So we would need to sit that down with them again once we get to the next point.
Thank you, Ms. Murphy. As of yesterday, that's not their understanding of the position or discussion that I had. Mr. Mayor, the 9.5 of the Riverfront Precinct. Commence the implementation of concept and schematic designs for the cafe restaurant. Mr. Mayor, why are we actually designing when our mandate is to encourage, and we must be guided by our council plan? So our licence from the community through our plan is encourage. Now, why would we go down the track of doing design work in lieu of just encouraging?
Okay, so this has been said before. the next stage in the design process is to move from a concept, right, to what's called a schematic design, which starts drawing pictures of where things might be. And so, which, as has been said before, the project is broken into precincts, one precinct at a time, and the riverfront will be our precinct, which will go through a schematic design process, which will involve the current users as well as the wider community. And once you've done that, worked out where things can be, including splash parks or railways or cafes or other things which are proposed along the river, right, that is the next stage, to develop a schematic design.
The issue there, Mr. Mayor, and we went through this with...
Are you debating or asking me another question?
No, it's the issue is a schematic design before a business case that says it's actually viable, which was the same problem with the not-user sports stadium. So why would we do that? Our mandate from the community is to encourage. We should be encouraging.
So I'll take that as a comment. Do you have any more questions?
Yes, I do, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I'll just hand this out, Mr. Mann.
What have you got there, Councillor? Could you explain what these documents are, please?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Mayor. That's the first page is an accurate drawing of the city oval. The pink line on it is the concept that was put forward. The green line is the minimum AFL size with 5 metres, or green or blue, with 5 metres space between the white line being the minimum AFL standard. And Mr. Mayor, the concerns from the community in relation to this is, you'll see it penetrates well into Sawyer Park. If it went any further south, the Gull Empire on the southern end would be in the sound shore. But Mr. Mayor, you know, we can try and turn this, but we also...
What's your question, please, Councillor?
Yeah. We ultimately also impact on the cenotaph and our Anzac community.
The question, please, we're saying
the question, Mr. Mayor, is what we propose, apparently, is to do some schematic work on something that's reasonably easy to see, doesn't fit. And if you look at the next page that I've provided, you will see that... If we leave the oval in its current position, then, Mr. Mayor, I would suggest that with not too much modification, it can be accommodated and save potentially $40 million. So the question, Mr. Mayor, is why are we going down the track of, and that, as I understand it, we plan on having no fences around the footy ground. I'm not sure how we run a footy game and collect the gate. But, Mr. Mayor, how is this going to actually work? The footy club don't want it.
Is that a question?
How's
it going to work? Okay, can I answer that? So I'd just like to reflect on the meeting which was held in this very room 2 weeks ago with representatives from the football club and the netball ladies. Right? They had concerns about the future, and we had a good discussion. I'm not sure if you were there that night, but we had a good discussion, and the key message was that in the next stage, which is what's called schematic design, that everybody who regularly uses that facility will have an input in to say how it should look in the future. We want the City Oval to become a premier, right, regional facility. AFL has three levels. It has the state facility, regional facilities and local facilities. And currently we want to create our central sporting facility to be a regional facility, AFL. And that means obviously fixing up the shape of the ground, what the orientation is, whether it's that way or that way or that way, that will be worked through in the next process. One of the important things is to acknowledge, Councillor Robertson, is that as well as catering for football and AFL standard size, we want to improve the whole facilities for netball and the girls. And that includes looking at the number of courts. It includes dealing with the issues of having a grandstand which has no disabled access. We have to improve our facilities aligning with the number of showers and toilets, all those sort of things, the details of what the ground could look like and should look like, particularly in far as getting the oval the right shape, will be part of the next process. And I felt that the meeting went very well. Certainly the people that I've spoken to after that night, on the night as they were leaving, they felt that they had been heard and were reasonably confident that the next step we would be able to accommodate their wishes. So I'm quite happy with, understand that the strategic directions group have got a preference of what it could look like, and I respect that. But this is going to be more than the strategic directions people guiding this next stage. It will be all of the users of the current facility and also the wider community. Do you have any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Yep. Yes, I do. So the issue here, though, Mr. Mayor, if it physically will not fit and that's demonstrated, how are we going to...
Sorry, you're starting to debate me again. I've answered your question, how would it work? And the answer is well, some...
You haven't explained, Mr. Mayor, how it's actually going to fit in when it actually... by measurement, does not fit in. And I have one more question.
Mr. Mayor, this is totally out of order. It's really totally out of order.
We can hear you.
Councillor Robertson, how many questions do you have?
One more question.
One more?
One more question, Mr. Mayor, in relation to this.